My dad had 4 years ago a hemorrhagic brain bleed stroke, which in turn has led to dementia for him.
I'm a Stephen minister at McGregor Baptist Church, and a lot of times I have to deal with people that have dementia.
My dad has Alzheimer's and my mom has Parkinson's.
Dementia isn't just forgetting your friend's name or people's names. It's, you know, you need help. There's like about 80 different types of dementia.
We have what we call episodes that he has. I don't know how to describe it. It was always hard to connect to him. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do.
I went to the Dementia Caregiver Seminar because I wanted to learn more about the disease.
Coming here to the seminar, I learned what is going on in his brain.
I learned a lot that I didn't know about current research and planned research, which gave me hope when combined with the gospel that there is hope.
You always pick up something new, something different, something you can apply, and you always pick up hope at the end, because that's what you need, is the hope and the support.
It's a good way to learn to help the body of Christ to, you know, be able to be supportive of the other people in the church that do have dementia, or they have friends that have dementia, or they have loved ones that have dementia.
I learned a lot, more than I could absorb in one seminar.
With the seminar, I have learned to be more positive in my quality time that I spend with my dad. I knew that I loved him and I wanted to learn as much as I could to help him any way that I was able.
If you have anybody in your family or anybody that you're close to that has any type of dementia, you need to come, because just to find out more information is key.
Hi, and welcome to the McGregor Dementia Support Ministry podcast, a podcast providing relevant resources to those currently walking the dementia journey with their loved ones. Today's podcast is a special episode to introduce to our listeners Dr. Benjamin Mast, who is our guest speaker for our upcoming Alzheimer's and Dementia Seminar here at McGregor Baptist. Dr. Mast is a licensed clinical psychologist, board-certified geropsychologist, and associate professor and vice chair in the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences at the University of Louisville. He serves as an elder at Sojourn Community Church, and he is the author of Second Forgetting, Remembering the Power of the Gospel in Alzheimer's Disease. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Mast. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah, and we are super excited about you being here in February, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the podcast, about you being here and being a part of our seminar this year. But I wanted to get started talking a little bit about the book that I just mentioned in your introduction, the book Second Forgetting, Remembering the Power of the Gospel in Alzheimer's Disease. And by the way, if you're listening, we're going to have a link in the show notes that you can find that book. So if you're driving right now and you don't have time to write it down, we'll mention it several times, but you'll have a chance to see that there. But your book, Second Forgetting, has had a powerful impact on a lot of people here at our church, and I'm sure a lot of people around the world. And I want to start by just asking you, what was the motivation for you in writing this book?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the question. And thanks for telling me about what's going on down there. I look forward to visiting and hearing more about what's going on at your church. It's really encouraging. The reason why I decided to write this book, a book often has a long process, and I've been a Christian for decades, and I've been a psychologist for a couple of decades now. And for many years, I really felt a calling into the area of Alzheimer's disease and dementia, and working with caregivers in a variety of contexts. And I had written another book earlier on in my career that was really for clinicians. And what I wanted to do was to write a book about dementia, trying to help people understand how they could live well with dementia, and for caregivers, how they could live well and sort of optimize things for what they're going through. And I started putting a few things on paper, and I came to realize I couldn't really write a book about living well without integrating the gospel. Mm. So I had a friend and colleague who, you know, I was bouncing ideas off from, and from there it became, you know, something I thought would be relatively short that became a full book. And so really what I wanted was something that could help guide people, people of faith, in learning how to approach this condition, which frankly scares people quite a bit. Sometimes more than it needs to, but it is the number one feared medical condition among people who are middle-aged and beyond. The other thing that I really wanted to do was bridge a gap that I had heard quite a bit about, that you know, people had, you know, they go through their lives relying on the Lord, relying on their faith to cope with various things that come up in their lives. Faith is a source of strength. They trust in the Lord. But there's something about Alzheimer's disease where, you know, people are getting closer to the end of their life, and it's as if when Alzheimer's hits, it's not just the sort of neurological forgetting that they experience, but they become so overwhelmed by the condition that they forget the Lord as well. And on the other side of it, you know, many churches, when the person stops showing up, they can't be there on Sunday or on Wednesday nights, they tend to be forgotten as well. And I felt like this is a real gap, that we have this faith that we hold to, and it is a source of hope for us. And we have this condition, which many people feel like is completely hopeless. And I wanted to see what we could do about bringing those things together and help people along on what can be a very difficult journey.
You just touched a little bit there on the title. You didn't explicitly say that, but maybe the listener like, well, what does he mean by second forgetting? And if somebody hasn't read the book, they might not know what that means. But go ahead, because you did touch on that. What do you mean by the second forgetting?
Yeah, second forgetting is so the first forgetting, I guess, is the first thing I ought to explain. And Alzheimer's disease is characterized by early onset of memory problems that progressively get worse. And it's the hallmark clinical symptom of Alzheimer's disease. We could explore that a little bit as to what's normal forgetting and what's not. But let's for now just say that's what people experience early on in the condition. And the second forgetting is, you know, after the diagnosis has been made and people, in a sense, go home to live with this condition, they become quite overwhelmed, as I said earlier, both by, you know, the prognosis, which is that medically it will continue to get worse. There's still no cure, and the treatments aren't quite what we would want them to be. And so in feeling overwhelmed, we're like many of the people in the biblical story that have experienced these amazing things that God has done in their life, but when the heat comes, when things get very difficult, tend to forget the Lord. And in the context of Alzheimer's disease, that's the second forgetting.
One of the things that kind of jumped out to me in your book was that while obviously you wrote this very specifically for those on that Alzheimer's dementia journey, that really much of what you say can apply to anybody going through any kind of difficult physical ailment or trial or affliction or anything, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why I think it comes through effectively in the book is that I experience it in my own life in big and small things. You know, we feel the Lord's blessing, we feel the Lord's faithfulness, and then, you know, something, you know, happens to your kids, or you experience a job loss, or you experience something that just feels stressful, maybe traumatic and overwhelming. And it's like we poof, you know, we forget all those things. The Lord's faithfulness in the past, and his promise to be with us in the present and to continue with us into the future. Yeah, I think we all have this spiritual amnesia, people will call it. Yeah.
That is a great, great word, spiritual amnesia phrase. I think we all tend to forget God's promises and the truth of his word. And it's in those moments that we begin to lose hope. And here, in fact, that was another observation I had about your book, was it is a book of hope. And I really believe it's a book of hope because it is grounded in the Word of God. I read a lot of books, but yours is right up there at the top with supporting scripture for pretty much every little aspect that you write in there. It's still a lot of practical stuff. You give great illustrations and stories of different scenarios of people that are on that journey at different phases, but still throughout, you're always constantly coming back to the Word of God and the gospel and giving that hope. And so was that intentional from the very beginning, or is that something that all of a sudden as you're writing, realizing, wait a minute, these have to be integrated together?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. That was something that I wanted to do. I had been encouraged by, you know, passages in scripture talking about the Holy Spirit helping, you know, the disciples to remember everything that Jesus had taught them. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting way to say that the Holy Spirit would help us remember in our need. And, you know, I was hopeful that I could effectively integrate what Scripture has to say into this very specific journey. But I was quite surprised as I went through how much there was that could be applied and really speak in a meaningful way to people who are dealing with Alzheimer's disease. And to take it a step further, you know, if you've ever written a book, you know, you put it out there and you have no idea, you know, whether people will understand what you're trying to say or whether it will connect with where they are. And I was really very overwhelmed by how much it seemed to connect with people in their journey. And I just had this sense that of gratitude that the Lord would use me in that way. He could have chosen anybody who wanted to focus on Alzheimer's. And I just felt very grateful to be part of that because, frankly, it's something that I felt like was my calling, yeah, you know, to work in this area. And so I did want the scripture to be a big part of it. But I was sort of taken aback at how much there was in God's word to help people in this specific journey. So that was an encouragement and to other people, and it was also encouragement to me.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you here for just a sec. Well, I've been honest with you up to this point as well, but I'll be a little extra honest. Someone gave me this book, Kim, who you have had a chance to have conversations with Kim and preparing and planning for our seminar. She gave this book to me about 7 years ago, maybe even longer than that, right? When she first saw it, she gave me a copy of it. I started to read it. And for whatever reason, I did not finish it. And then all of a sudden I ran into a couple, like, I don't know, a few months or so later, who's one of their parents had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so I said, I got a book for you. And I gave that book away and didn't think anything more about it. However, recently, my own mother has been diagnosed with dementia. I have in my family also her mother passed away with Alzheimer's many years ago, and my mom's brother passed away with Alzheimer's. So all of a sudden now, this is much more of a reality. So I've read your book twice now in the last probably 6 months. Just not because you were coming, because the first time I read it, I didn't know you were coming at that point. But it was just because now it is more of a reality. And so I think for the listener out there, they're probably listening because the most likely they're in a caregiving role themselves or beginning that. And for me, the heart of the book, and maybe it's because of that perspective, chapters 4, 5, and 6 just seem to be the heart of the book. And I love the whole book, and I want to talk about one other chapter after this. But obviously, you have great empathy for those that are struggling. You have wisdom and understanding so much about the disease, and yet still being able to bring the hope of the gospel through all of that. Is that an area, am I seeing too much into it to say that that really is the heart of the book, or did you have that caregiver in mind when you were writing much of this book?
Yeah, I definitely did. And I think that's well said. I think what parts people need, depend on, you know, where they're at and what their situation is. But it is true that most of dementia education materials, most of the intervention and care that happens often is appropriately targeted at the family caregivers because, you know, the person who's experiencing Alzheimer's disease is obviously, you know, going through a very difficult time. Sometimes we can't even appreciate how confusing and disorienting it must be to not remember what happened 30 minutes ago, or to have people taking care of you who you don't recognize. It must be beyond words to be able to talk about what that's like. But when we focus our efforts and our ministry on caregivers, it has this double benefit in that it helps the caregiver along, and they're coordinating so many things. You know, they're coordinating the person's care. They might be coordinating their personal care, their activity. That same caregiver is on their own emotional and spiritual journey. You know, they may be grieving for the person, you know, who's still sitting with them, but seems like they've really changed and is just no longer the person they remember. And so they receive the benefit of our care, but then in turn can provide better care for the person with Alzheimer's disease. And so, you know, if one wanted to set out and write a book about Alzheimer's to help people on the journey, if you didn't target the caregiver, you'd really miss a huge chunk of what's going on. You know, that said, you know, we're diagnosing Alzheimer's earlier and earlier, and it isn't unthinkable to think that, you know, there are people with Alzheimer's disease listening to us talk or who might pick up the book. And as that diagnosis happens earlier and earlier, you know, we want to have make sure that we're, you know, directing what we say, our ministry and our care to them and their situation, because this is a real changing aspect of the whole Alzheimer's world right now, that it's going earlier and earlier. And so people are going to be living with Alzheimer's disease and having conversations like you and I are, but just being a little bit more forgetful than they used to be.
Yeah. I'm going to come back. Well, let me read the titles of those chapters, because I just said the numbers, and that for our listeners, that doesn't mean anything. But the gospel for those with Alzheimer's is chapter 4, chapter 5, the challenge of giving care, and then chapter 6, God's grace for caregivers. And I'll come back to chapter 7 in a minute, because that's Alzheimer's and the church, and that leads into our seminar a little bit. But I want to ask you a little bit about chapter 10, prevention and planning, because I think that's especially the prevention side, because you know, we have seen over even the last several years where the great promise of pharmaceuticals that are going to be able to make a change, and all those end up being pretty much nothing. And I hate to be that negative, but I see anything better than that. So the preventative side seems to be a little bit more intriguing, especially if you're listening and you're you know, have not been diagnosed with any kind of cognitive decline or dementia. So are there any new trends out there that, because I know I'm sure our listeners would be interested, coming from you, that you're seeing, hearing about prevention?
Yeah. So the prevention science is continuing to grow. And I think I agree with your assessment of the science that prevention seems a bit more hopeful than the treatment, even in the midst of two new FDA approved medications. Prevention definitely seems like the better option. You know, what we've learned over the last 10 years is that some of the original ideas about preventing Alzheimer's are turning out to have good data behind them. But it's important to clarify that when we're talking about preventing Alzheimer's disease, in reality, what we're talking about is delay. And what prevention science in the context of Alzheimer's does is to seek to delay the onset of clinical symptoms. And that's not as exciting as fully preventing it. But if you could even delay the onset 5 years on average, you would cut the number of people who have Alzheimer's disease in half.
Wow.
And that's massive. And so in terms of the practical things, a lot of it is quite common sense. And for some people, that's not very exciting. But physical exercise is probably the biggest thing that we can do. And that is both aerobic exercise and strength training. You know, you don't have to be, you know, hitting the gym and maxing out your bench press, but, you know, strength training and aerobic training both have positive effects. Remaining cognitively active, so engaged in the world, doing things that challenge your brain and keeping it active actually looks like it has positive effects. I always tell people you don't have to do crosswords. You don't have to download mental activity apps on your phone. You just need to find something that you enjoy doing that continues to push you. and stay active. Social activity is actually a pretty good factor as well. And it's the most mysterious, right? It makes sense that exercise would delay things and keeping your mind active would delay. But people who are more socially active appear to have a lower risk for developing Alzheimer's disease. And people who are lonely and isolated have higher risk of developing Alzheimer's. So those three things are activity-based. The other thing to consider is managing any cardiovascular risk factors. We say what's good for the heart is good for the brain. And there's a pretty strong connection there. So if you've got high blood pressure, follow your doctor's recommendations and take the treatment. If you've got diabetes, manage it well, watch your diet. If you have heart trouble, make sure you're following medical recommendations. So those are a few. Some of the emerging ones are hearing loss. So not leaving your hearing loss untreated is associated with higher risk of Alzheimer's disease. Diet is a little bit controversial, but I think we all understand what's a healthier diet and what's an unhealthy diet. You know, we want to not overdo it on sugar, alcohol, and fried food. But the specifics that you eat are probably less important. You know, sometimes you'll hear, well, now it's blueberries, you know, then it's, you know, vitamin E. And a good healthy diet is probably the best general principle. Those things in combination, some of the more recent estimates suggest that currently a third of dementia cases could be prevented through those steps alone. And that's a good thing. Those are just things that are common sense, and they're good for your overall well-being as well. So why not?
Yeah, kind of a multifaceted approach when you consider all those different areas that you just talked about, from the exercise to the diet to the social aspect, the relational aspect, the mental, doing all of those things. And yeah, I think you're right. Even if it did not put off the onset of dementia or Alzheimer's, you probably would be much healthier with much more energy and much more active and just enjoy life in general a lot more. So Chapter 7 talks about Alzheimer's and the church, and man, what a powerful chapter this is, because for at least in my history of being in church, I've been in churches for a long time now, this is something that typically is not talked about. And not in a sense that it's like we don't want to talk about it, we just don't know how to talk about it or don't know how to even begin to approach it. And I'm so grateful that a little over 7 years ago, one of our own church members struggling with this with her own mom came to me and said, "We got to do something." I'm like, "Well, what?" And I said, "Well, why don't we figure out what we need to do?" And that began for us this journey for our church, and having not just an annual seminar, but support groups, classes, other activities, connections, just a lot of things happening because of that. And it's not unusual for us to talk about that from even in a worship service as we promote these events and talk about that. And it's becoming more a little bit more of our culture now. It's still not where people feel super comfortable at all times talking about it, but we've moved the bar a little bit is what I'm saying. And I think though that probably most churches don't. Why is this still such almost a taboo topic in churches today?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it probably varies by setting. But first, let me say, I think you've moved the bar more than a little. It sounds like a lot happening in your church, and it's very encouraging to hear. You know, when I've talked to people about why this might be in their church, you know, many pastors will say, you know, I'd love to be able to do something, but I don't have the training. I don't know how to step in. You know, nothing in seminary prepared me for dealing with Alzheimer's disease, because, you know, people are less likely to be there at services. And so it's more of a church scattered kind of situation that the church needs to go to people. And we know that a church is not a building, but it's a body of people. And so if we can be a bit more spread out and bring the church, so to speak, to people, that's one thing that we can do. So there's this lack of preparedness, which is not any ill will, but you know, if you're in seminary, you train on many things, and just turns out that right now Alzheimer's isn't one of them. And we have these ways of dealing with other types of condition, things like cancer. You know, there's a, you know, it's not that there's a protocol, but people know, they show up and they pray with you, they read scripture with you, they might bring you a meal. But those conversations are much more difficult when somebody has Alzheimer's disease, and so they don't know how to step in. And when we don't know how to step in, we get a little bit freaked out and we tend to avoid it. And the more we avoid it, the easier that is. And, you know, it's a little bit of out of sight, out of mind, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm very encouraged to hear what you all are doing down there. And I would love to see Alzheimer's on the seminary curriculum, but, you know, I think things will change, but it's still an ongoing challenge.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we are super excited about our upcoming seminar here and very excited to have you speaking as part of that seminar. I believe you're speaking a couple of times. What will you be speaking on? What are you going to be addressing while you're here?
Yeah. So two sessions. The morning session will start with an overview of what Alzheimer's disease is. What are the symptoms? How do we recognize it? And, you know, many people may have heard that before, but I find that if we don't start with some of those basics, you know, we aren't on the same page. And all the questions eventually will be about, well, what are the early symptoms? Is it genetic and things like that? So we'll give a quick overview of what it is and what it looks like. And then start to talk pretty quickly about why people find it to be so, why there's so much fear surrounding Alzheimer's disease specifically, why people feel like there isn't hope. And then we'll turn to start talking about biblical hope for people living with dementia and by extension, their families. The afternoon session will be a little bit more focused on caregivers and care systems, including the church. So, you know, what kinds of things do caregivers deal with? How have Christian caregivers learned to apply scripture to their settings to find hope and strength and encouragement? And then continuing on with what role can the church play? And so how do we think about whether our physical space of being a church is welcoming and friendly for people who are deeply forgetful, and also how can the body of Christ step in to journey with people along the way, come alongside them, and be a guide in a difficult period of time.
Well, really looking forward to having you and hearing those seminars. I know they're going to be very edifying for those that are able to make it. And just as a reminder, if you're listening to this podcast and it's before February, Saturday, February 17th, 2024, and you would like to attend the seminar or want more information about it, head on over to mcgregor.net/dementia and scroll down to the seminar info section. We'll also put a link, this link in the show notes. But there on our webpage, you'll be able to find out a lot of information about the seminar, the times. There's even a video on there from people that have participated in the past sharing a little bit about what it meant to them. You can watch that short video. So there's a lot of good stuff there. Well, thank you, Dr. Mass, for being a part of this special dementia podcast. And again, looking forward to having you here in person. And man, just less than a month now, right? Yeah,
sure.
It'll be. And where are you? What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville. Okay. So you've got some cold weather lately up there.
Very cold.
Yeah. So come on down here to some warm weather in February and enjoy being a part of this. So thank you so much for taking part of being a part of this podcast with us. And thank you listeners as well for being a part of our podcast. And if you haven't yet subscribed to this channel, I would encourage you to do that. Also leave us a review, give us a thumbs up if you found this content helpful. Well, thanks again for listening. And I hope to see you at our upcoming Alzheimer's and Dementia Seminar.